You're listening to audio from the 2023 Liturgy Collective Conference, a gathering that fosters rest, connection, and growth for church musicians, pastors, and worshipers. For more information, visit liturgycollective.com.
Let us give our attention again to Psalm 126, a psalm of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever had a deliverance from the Lord in your life that was almost too good to be true? You wondered if you were dreaming. And then years later, you looked back on that time and you needed to be delivered again. And you could picture in your heart's memory the feelings of that old deliverance. But it was only a memory. And you silently cried out, "Do it again, Lord. I need to be delivered again." That is what this psalm is about. It is a memory of divine deliverance turned into a pleading prayer. You see the memory of the deliverance in verses 1 to 3. You see the prayer in verses 4 to 6. Imagine the children of Israel brought out of their long captivity in Babylon and back into the land, saying to the Lord, "You have restored the fortunes of Zion. You have filled our mouths with laughter. You have put the shouts of joy on our tongues. Even the nations around us say that the Lord has done great things for us. And we acknowledge the Lord has done great things for us." And yet the years in the land wear on. And the trials compound. And the sufferings and the sorrows come. And the people returned from captivity cry out, "Restore our fortunes, Lord." And the illustration there in verse 4 is of the flooding that happens in the dry Negev in the south when it's bone dry and the wadis are dried up and the streams are dried up, and then comes the downpour. The prayer is that the Lord's blessing would come forth like a flash flood. But the illustration of how life is lived in verses 5 and 6 is not like a flash flood, is it? It's the rhythm of sowing and reaping. "Lord, come again like a flood." And yet the confession is, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy." What do we learn from this? A couple of things. First, especially looking at verses 1 to 3, we find here the soul's memory of divine deliverance and the soul's response to God for that deliverance in praise. The people of Israel restored to the land say, it feels almost too good to be true. We were like those in a dream. And their mouths are filled with laughter and joy. And the nations testify to the Lord's restoration of his people. And they sing of that restoration too with gladness. This is the effect of the Lord's marvelous restoration on the hearts of his people. And don't we learn at least a couple of things from that? One, that God's true servants may indeed be in great affliction and endure the rigors of captivity. It's a poignant thing to read Psalm 126 here and in this time. God's true servants may be in great affliction. We're often surprised by it. But the psalm reminds us that. You don't praise God for deliverance from affliction unless you've been in affliction. But then there's this second thing that we learn. The hand of God should be acknowledged in all our mercies. Whatever be the instrument of our deliverance, we ought to give our praise to God. When the soul remembers divine deliverance, the soul praises God for that deliverance. That's the first thing we see in this passage. There's a second thing. You see it in verses 4-6, because now, having been restored from captivity to the land, the psalmist cries out to God again for deliverance. And we see the soul's plaintive cry for restoration again, a prayer for the Lord to restore the fortunes of his people again. Fill up the streams of the Negev. Bring us a flash flood of your blessings. God's people have need to offer up that prayer. A friend of mine was lost. He was strung out on drugs. He was living a life of sexual immorality, and God saved him and gave him a wife and children and put him in the ministry. But many years later, another crisis came, and he had to cry out to God, "Restore me again, O Lord." You even see that at the end of Psalm 119, don't you? 175 verses of, "I love the scriptures, Lord." And how does it end? Have you paid attention to Psalm 119, verse 176? "I've gone astray." 175 verses of, "I love your scriptures, Lord." 176, "I've gone astray." And what's his prayer? "Seek your servant." And we understand this, because if he doesn't seek us, we won't come home. And there's the cry. "Come find me, Lord. Come bring me home. Come bring your blessing again." But the final two verses give a very different rhythm than the rhythm of a flash flood. Those final two verses remind us of the grind of the Christian life. "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy." From the picture of a flash flood in the southern desert, suddenly we change to an agricultural metaphor, with the farmer sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, year after year. And the assurance is this: those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. And it's repeated again, just in case you missed it. Who goes out with weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. What causes the weeping? Not the sowing. The sowing is not causing the weeping. There are other circumstances that are causing the weeping. But the sowing must go on. I had a dear, dear friend and member at First Presbyterian Church Jackson, Jill, who had two precious twins, Avery and Campbell. And in 2009, Campbell was diagnosed with cancer. And he passed away. 2014, he was diagnosed with cancer, and he passed away in 2015. I have watched Jill grieve that death beautifully with trust in the Lord. She will never forget that boy. She will never forget that boy. But she has Avery to take care of, and she's got Stella Grace to take care of. In other words, she's got to keep on sowing. There's work to be done. There's a harvest to be yielded in their lives. And she does so with weeping. All of us have our thing. It's different for every one of us. I don't know what brings your tears and your weeping. But the promise is, you sow, you will weep, you will reap with joy. And William Plummer reminds us that there is no more precious fruit gathered from the earth than that which springs from seed sown in tears and pain and sighing and persecution. It was so with our Lord, right? In fact, not only does he remind us of this teaching in the parable of the sower, he reminds us of it in John 12 when he says his glory is about to be revealed, but then he tells us a seed falls into the ground and dies. And Christians understand that. Horatius Bonar says, the worshiper in all ages has known the going forth to serve the Lord in tears, the following him with the cross, the scattering the seed in his field in sorrow and fear, but as certainly shall he know the joy of harvest at his Lord's return. The disciple is in this merely tracing the master's path. Did you think that you would not trace the master's path? We are disciples. What are disciples but those who follow the master? Of course we follow the master's path, but the Savior said, if the grain falls into the ground, if the seed falls into the ground, it will yield fruit. This psalm and our Lord's teaching points us to the hope of the new heavens and the new earth. Though you reap, though you sow with tears, you will reap with joy. It was so with our Savior. It will be so with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.